The gospel frees you to be open and honest about your life and your struggles and your sin. I love to hear that, and I love to see that. If you have a Bible, to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look there at a passage. Just be really in one passage today as we talk about community and what community is and what God does in us through it. If you have this and you like to fill in blanks, you can grab that. There will be some notes there that you can fill in. Talking about community, man, and when we say community, we're talking about living life together as believers in Jesus and holding each other accountable, being with one another, praying together, worshiping together, doing ministry there, all these things. Look, you can find community. We've talked about this before, but you can find community anywhere, okay? You can find community, like in our lives, we find community a lot of times around things that we have in common with other people, whether it's the Little League baseball park or the school or wherever that we go, we find people that we are alike in. So you can find community in a lot of different places, but the gospel community, biblical community, is really only found inside the local church around other believers. And I want us to see some of the things that Peter tells the church here that they need to be doing and looking for and what God wants to do in their hearts and their lives as they do that. So I want you to, we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and then really we're just going to walk through it, okay, and see what God has to say to us about biblical community here at Capstone and really here in our lives. So he tells these people, Peter says, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. We could stop there, but we won't. A lot there. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And as you come to him, to Jesus, a stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, and he quotes the Old Testament here, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobeyed the word as they were destined to do. But you that know Jesus, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul, keeping your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, that's really just in the world, honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Man, just a beautiful passage here. A lot of deep truth there. I want us just to walk through and see the things that God is kind of calling us to. We're going to give you a point, go back and look at the scripture, give you a point, go back at the scripture, see really what God has for us. I want you to see this up front, the first thing, in these first verse. The biblical community, and Jacob talked about this so well, all right? Biblical community brings accountability in our lives that we would not find other ways, and it helps us to put away the sins that are in our lives that so easily entangle us. Biblical community, being around brothers and sisters in Christ, it helps bring accountability in our lives so that we can put away these sins that easily entangle us. Look at what Peter tells them here. He says, to put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And who is he talking to here? Is he talking to non-Christians or to Christians? He's talking to Christians, okay? His letter is written to the church. And you're like, well, that sounds like a pretty jacked up church if this is what's going on there, that they're malicious and they're deceitful and they're hypocrites and they envy and they're slanderous. That sounds like a really bad church, doesn't it? No, it sounds like Capstone Church, all right? Sounds like every church has ever been. All of us, we're always becoming more like Jesus. We have a need to become more like Jesus. He's telling them to put these things away because they don't have it all together yet. This church doesn't have it all together yet, and guess what? This church doesn't have it all together yet. Never is going to have it together as long as I'm the preacher. We're never going to have it all together. So we need biblical accountability, people that can come alongside us and help us put away those sins that so easily entangle us in our lives. Look, if we don't have accountability from other brothers and sisters in Christ, if you don't have somebody that has the ability to speak truth into your life and to look at you and you're honest with them and they're honest with you, and it's a dangerous place. He is a dangerous man who has no one holding him accountable. Whether he's a leader or a husband or a father, no matter where you are in life, if you don't have people in your life that love you and hold you accountable and help you put away those sins that easily entangle us, and we're in a bad spot. You're in a bad spot when that happens. And Peter tells the church here, man, put away these things that easily entangle you. And the church is here as brothers and sisters in Christ. Biblical community brings that accountability for us. It brings us to a point where we can hold each other accountable and put these things away. The second thing I want you to see there, biblical community develops in us a desire for God's word, which will help us to grow up in our walk with Christ. Biblical community is there to help develop in us a desire for the Word of God so that we can grow up in our walk with Christ. I want you to see back in verses 2 and 3. It says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, or desire, other translations say, for pure spiritual milk, that you may grow up into salvation if indeed you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Now, I didn't really understand this verse until I had a newborn, all right? And when you have a newborn, you understand their desire for milk, right? It is an insatiable desire, right? Every 3 to 4 hours, they desire milk and will stop at nothing to get it, right? It doesn't matter what time it is, mom, dad. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if you're at the grocery store or at a tailgate, or it doesn't matter where you are. When a baby is, an infant is desiring milk, they're getting it, right? There's nothing else that will satisfy that desire but feeding them. And Peter here says, like that, like a newborn infant can only be satisfied by milk, only be satisfied by its mother or by the bottle. Like that, when you see that, you that have had a baby understand the desire, the deep longing for milk as an infant. Well, Peter says, you, as believers in Christ, you should long for spiritual milk like that. You should have in you an insatiable desire that cannot be satisfied except by God's word. Only fulfilled by God. Only fulfilled by the pure spiritual milk that comes from God in his word. And I think feeding on, and the next line there, he says, long for God, long for his word. Why? So that you may grow up into your salvation. Because you should long for pure spiritual milk so that you will grow up as a follower of Jesus. Now here's the loving hard truth this morning, all right? Until you and I learn to long for God through his word, I believe that you and I will never become spiritually mature. You will never grow up as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, until you long for God and know him through his word. And here's the truth. There's a lot of people that have been a follower of Jesus for many years, and you're still a baby. Still long, just on milk, because we haven't grown up in our salvation through knowing God through his word. Knowing God, knowing his word, obeying him in his word, doing what he's called us to do in his word. We never grow up in our salvation because we haven't feasted on and fed on the spiritual food that God has given us. And look, this is the reason why here at Capstone we're so committed in our sermons, in what we preach, in our small groups. We always want to be pointing ourselves back to the scriptures because we believe that this is the pure spiritual milk that God has given us. And when we know God through his word, it will allow us to grow up in our salvation. And I'm telling you, biblical community is a place where that happens. It's a place where it happens. It's a place where we grow up in our salvation, where we become more mature men and women and followers of Jesus. He has given us biblical community to help us grow up in that. And if you don't have a desire for spiritual things, I would tell you, being around other brothers and sisters in Christ is a way that God will use, he'll use that in your life to give you that desire, to give me that desire. The more that I'm around godly men and women, the more I desire the things of God, the more I desire to know God. And he's calling us. God is calling us to not be infants in our faith, but to grow up in our salvation. If it is true that we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Third thing I want you to see quickly. Brings accountability, helps us desire God through his word. Biblical community helps us to learn to treasure Christ, to treasure Christ in the way that God does. When you think about treasuring Christ, that is a big word. We talked about this a little bit last week, but and Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. He's better than anything this world has to offer. Isaiah 55 tells us that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, our souls will be satisfied as with the richest of fare. And Jesus talked about how he didn't come, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10, but he came to give us abundant life. And abundant life, treasures, are found in Jesus Christ. And God knows that, all right? He knows that. So look at what the scriptures say in verse 4. It says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Talking about Jesus, you yourselves are being built up like living stones. Go down, verse 6, quotes the Old Testament. It says, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. You realize that when God looks at Jesus, he believes that he's precious. He sees him as precious. And God the Father knows that God the Son is precious. And he wants us to know that he's precious. And being around other Christians will help us see Jesus for who he is. You see how, I mean, you hear stories like Jacob and Shanna's story and other stories that we've heard in our time of looking at community. You're around people that walk through difficulty. They lose a loved one close to them. They fight cancer. They walk through hardship. And you see them and you go, man, they handled this differently than the world handles it. They're not completely shattered when this happened. What happened in their life? How were they able to stand underneath this kind of tragedy? And you find out the way they were able to stand was, and they treasured Christ above all things. They understand that Jesus was better than those things. You see a very healthy marriage that glorifies God, and you say, man, how come your marriage is so great and mine's so crappy? And you go, you find out, man, here's a husband and wife that are treasuring Christ. You see that, and you want that. Other believers help us treasure Christ the way that God treasures him and the way that others treasure him. We need to be around those brothers and sisters and see those great truths so that when we drift away, when my marriage is struggling or my raising my kids is struggling or just mentally, physically, I'm struggling with sin, those other believers are able to point me back to the great truths of who Jesus is and that he's better than any desire this world has to offer, any fulfillment this world has to offer, that Jesus is better than that. I should treasure him as better than that. Other believers help us do that, all right? The next one. God does not intend for us to be isolated Christians, but relationally connected. And this last line I stole from John Piper, but he said this, that isolated stones are not a building. And God is building a spiritual house. And you are a vital part of it. Isolated stones are not a building. I want you to look back at verse 5. What it says, you yourselves, you who know Jesus, you're like living stones and are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Like, building a spiritual house. Get that image that Jesus is building a spiritual house. Remember, Jesus told Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. He's building his church. He's building a spiritual house. And you and I together are spiritual stones that he's using to build a house. And you're a vital part of it. There's no isolated stones aren't houses. Like if we stay isolated and we don't do life together and live life together and love together and learn together and pray together and be accountable together, if there's no relational connection in our life, there's no house being built. And look, I would tell you, if you're new here, okay, here's always my disclaimer. If you're new, I'm not talking to you right here, okay? We love you, and we love that Capstone is a safe place for people that are maybe coming to church for the first time or coming back to church, and you're just wanting to find out about spiritual things, and this is a safe place for you. And you come, and you sit, and you listen, and you engage with the body and hear what God is doing. But look, if you've been doing that for years and years and years, and all you, your only connection to the church is that you sit in rows with a bunch of people, but you have no connection with them in life, and you're living isolated lives, I would tell you, that's not what God has for you. God has something better for you than to just simply come in a room and sit in rows. He's building a spiritual house, and you're part of it, and he wants to use us as he builds his spiritual house. And so coming to Christ, becoming a believer, is a personal decision, okay? It is a personal decision to come and know Christ. You and I need to know Christ, and we have to know him personally. If I don't personally trust him, I will not be a child of God. I have to make a personal decision that I'm going to know and follow Christ. So trusting Christ for the first time is a personal decision. But following Christ in many ways is a group effort. It's something we do together. Something we have others coming alongside us, and we do those things together. And I pray that our connection to the church is not just that we sit in rows with a bunch of people once a week. But man, I pray that we would see that God has something more for us, that he's building a spiritual house, and that you, every one of us that know Jesus, every single one of us are spiritual stones, living stones, and he is building up his house, his church. And he wants to use you as part of it. You're a vital part of it. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter. You're like, well, I can't preach or I can't play guitar. So? It doesn't matter. And he's gifted you. He's called you. He's filled you with the Spirit. He's given you opportunities. And he's placed you in your life right where you are, in your neighborhood, in your job, with your family, right where you are, because he wants to use you. You're a vital part of his church. You're a vital part of what he's doing. He wants to use every one of us to accomplish what he has for us to do. But it's called to be relationally connected, not some isolated group of stones. All right, verse 9. We'll spend the next really 4 points in verse 9, and then we'll be done. I want you to see the words that he uses in verse 9. But you, he says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession. I hope what you hear there, he's telling these people that their identity is now found in Christ. Their identity is in Christ because God has made them a new people. You're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people. They're new, and they have new identity. And look, we're identified as a lot of different things, all right? All of us are. Forever, when I was in high school, I was Cynthia's brother. That's my sister, okay? She's a few years older than me, and it was really good that she was older than me because she was a model student and a sweet person, and I was not that. And so I kind of rode her coattails. Maybe some of you did the same thing. Where Hannah is a year older than Clark in school, thank God, right? Because she gets the good teachers because she's smart and she's sweet and she does everything. And Clark, man, he's a free spirit, all right? So we're thank God that he gets to follow Hannah, right? And we want him to be Hannah's brother. That's what we tell people. We're like, well, what's his name? Hannah's brother. That's his name, all right? I love that kid, man. He is a lot like his daddy, okay? But that's kind of who his identity is. That was my identity for a while. Jenny and I kind of kid. Now she has become Jeremy's wife. She's like, I have a name. My name's Jenny, okay? So if you see her in a little bit, go up to her and say, hey, Jeremy's wife, how are you doing, all right? And my point there is our identity is found in a lot of things, right? You find your identity in your job, find your identity in your kids, find your identity in where you live, all kind of things. We find our identity as maybe our country of origin. And really what Peter is telling them is, and none of those things are bad, okay? None of those things are bad. But we have a greater identity, an identity that our first allegiance and our first everything, priority should be to. And that's to this new king and this new kingdom that has called us out of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, marvelous light. So while it's okay to be have identity in some things, understand our real identity, our true identity, our highest identity is as a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. That's who we are. That's who I want to find my identity in. Not as Clark and Hannah's dad, even though I'm so proud to be their dad. Not as Jenny's husband, although I'm glad to be that. Listen to this. Not even as the pastor of Capstone Church. Even though I don't think there's a greater calling that I could have, and there's not a better job in the world for God to give me than to be able to shepherd this body. But there's a higher calling, a higher identity on me, and that is as one who has been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that's where we should find our identity. That's where we need to place our hope. We are a new people because of what Jesus has done, and so we should rest in that. Next point, what are we to do with that? Wear t-shirts and have coffee mugs and don't hang out with people that don't know Jesus because we're a different people, so we don't hang out with those people. No, okay? He hasn't called you into his holy nation and made you part of his chosen people so that you would always be a separatist. What has he called us to do? We are to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. We're to tell others about who Jesus is. Look back at verse 9. This is your chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possessions. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And this beautiful new identity that we have is not meant to stop with me. I'm not just meant to go, well, I'm in this family now, so we're good. All right, me and my kids, we all know Jesus, so forget the rest of you guys. No. He's made you a part of his people so that we would proclaim his excellencies, that we would tell others this very thing that we keep talking about, that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer, that he is excellent. There's nothing more satisfying than Jesus. That's why he's made us part of his kingdom. That's why he has made us a royal priesthood, that we would proclaim his excellencies, the excellencies of this one that has called me, called you out of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. And don't forget verse 10. You were once not a people, but now you are God's people. And think about that. There was a time where you had no identity. Or if you had one, it was empty. Had no great value. Definitely didn't have any eternal value. You once were opposed to God. And now you've been brought into his family. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Don't forget who you were and who you are now. Dearly loved by God. And look, if you come in here today and you say, Jeremy, I know Jesus, but man, I don't know that God loves me. I got so much going on. My life is crazy. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus, you are dearly loved by God. Every one of us in this room are dearly loved by God. He loves you. He's for you. He's sent his son for you. And we need to remember who we are in Christ. And if you don't know him, this is what he's wanting to call you to, out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of one who hasn't received mercy into the one who has received mercy, dearly loved by God. And we are to proclaim his excellencies when we see who we are in Christ. The last thing I want you to see is this. None of this is meant to be done alone, okay? None of these things are meant to be done alone. Kind of tie back into the first thing. We need each other. And we need each other. We will never accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish without each other. Because he's given you different gifts than he's given me. He's given you different experiences than he's given me. He's given you a different sphere of influence than he's given me. And I love to see how God is connecting us together in this community and ultimately to the ends of the earth, how God is building his spiritual house, little C church called Capstone, inside of his big C church, the church. And I'd love to see how he's doing that. But we don't need to go that alone. When we try to go it alone, we'll fail. Not going to grow into the men and women that God's called us to be. Not going to be able to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish if we don't do it together. And we need each other. All of our gifts, all of our experiences, all of our abilities, our personalities, everything working together for the common good of proclaiming the excellencies of Him who has called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. So when we talk about community here, hear this, okay? We're not talking about just Sunday school. We're not talking about just sitting somewhere. We're talking about being together, learning God's word together, obeying God's word together, holding each other accountable to make sure that we're being conformed into the image of His beloved Son, and then going and proclaiming the excellencies of Christ. Sometimes going to Hungary, sometimes going to Uganda, sometimes going wherever, sometimes going to Northport, going to B.F. Goodrich or Mercedes or wherever it is that you go, proclaiming the excellencies of Christ wherever we are, wherever we go as a people, because we believe this, because we believe that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. So we want to hold each other accountable to come towards Him, and we want to proclaim it to the world. Man, He loves them and He's for them. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? I know this is true in my own heart, and I believe it to be true in all of us. That for that to happen, it's a multifaceted deal, okay? We're not trying to oversimplify something here. But all of us need accountability. All of us need to know God through His Word. All of us need to learn again and freshly how to treasure Christ the way that God does. It's easy for any of us to get isolated. And can I tell you, there's a great temptation as a pastor to isolate yourself. I talk to ministers weekly that are lonely, that are depressed, that are isolated. So when I talk to you about being relationally connected, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. We need to be connected together, sharing our struggles, sharing our needs, sharing our victories, all those things, working together, finding our identity in who God is and who He has made me, so that we can proclaim these excellencies of Him who has called you and I out of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. And look, if you are in this room today and you're broken, I would tell you, you're amongst friends. And God takes broken things and He makes beautiful things out of them through His Son, Jesus. And so this morning, there may be someone in this room that you say, I don't know Jesus. I need to trust Christ. I want to move from the darkness that I'm in into the kingdom of His marvelous light. And I see what Jesus has done for me. And I want to trust Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And then I want to be inside of His community that He is building. And today, if you need to trust Christ, we invite you to do that. And for the believer in the room that feels isolated and feels alone, it feels like no one would understand and no one gets me, our invitation to you is to come home this morning. To come home to a God who loves you, who has mercy on you. You're deeply and dearly loved by Him. And find rest and restoration in Him and around His people. Let others come alongside you and love you, minister to you, hold you accountable, pray for you, take care of you. We're God's church. He is building His church, and He has made you part of it. So be part of it. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Jacob and Shanna and so many others, God, that are willing to share their story of how You have moved in their hearts and their lives and are continuing to do that, and nobody's there, nobody's arrived. God, you are doing great things, beautiful things in us. And Lord, I pray that we would come together, be honest with each other, seek you, seek your kingdom, seek to make you known, and together we could accomplish all that you have for us to accomplish. God, I pray that as we respond to your word this morning, you would move in our hearts. We'd be faithful to do all you call us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.